I invite you to remain standing for our gospel reading this morning that comes from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. This is what John describes. He said, "The next day, John the Baptizer saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, 'Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translated means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated anointed. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas,' which is translated Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, 'Thanks be to God.' Amen." You may be seated. And I invite you to pray with me. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and indeed the one who invites us to come and see. Amen. We are celebrating this morning the joy of baptisms, of Kellen and Virginia's baptisms, as a reminder that indeed this water that we use this morning symbolizes the water of the Jordan River, where this story begins. Last Sunday, we were kind of walking along the shore of the Jordan River, along the banks. This morning, we begin in that same spot. John is there, and he is pointing out Jesus. He's saying, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And as one commentator describes, John the Baptizer is the spotlight. He's not the focus of the light, although there are some who wondered if he was. And when that question is raised, his response is always, "I'm not the one. I am preparing for the one who is to come." But when he sees the dove rest upon Jesus, the waters of the Jordan, he gets that confirmation that he has been awaiting from the Lord, that indeed the Messiah has come, the Anointed One is now among us. And so he speaks, and his two disciples, Andrew, and we never know the name of the other disciple, but Andrew, they hear John's invitation, they hear John's claim, and so they begin to follow Jesus. And I wonder how long after they started following did Jesus realize that he was being followed? You know that feeling when you're walking along the way and all of a sudden you realize that maybe somebody's walking behind you, and at home when your kids are young, you get to turn around and be surprised that they were following you. We know that feeling. When did Jesus have that feeling? Did he already anticipate that these two would follow? But I love when he turns around and he asks that question, because I think it's a question that he asks each of us as well. What are you looking for? And isn't that the question? That question is not just for the two disciples. It's a question to us as well. When we saw Jesus, what were we looking for? Now, for some of us, maybe we grew up in the church. We've been connected to the church in some way, maybe since we were infants. Maybe our story may be similar to the story of Kellen and Virginia. And so Jesus has always kind of been there. In my family, on my dad's side of the family, Mr. Evans was my great aunt Ruth's friend. And Mr. Evans was not a biological member of our family, but he was at every family event. And he brought the pop in this really cool, now probably would be very expensive, Coca-Cola ice chest cooler. And he didn't have to be family because he brought the pop, you know? So we knew if Mr. Evans was going to be there, we always had something good and cold to drink, especially on the 4th of July or any of our summer gatherings. And so he was part of the family. He was just there, and we appreciated it. And for some of us, maybe our experience with Jesus is kind of that way. He's always been, or his name has always kind of been in our lives. Maybe we've never really thought about it a whole lot, other than if somebody says, do you know who Jesus is? We would say yes. We kind of have grown, we've kind of grown up with him. He's been in our life. But there comes a time in our lives in different ways where we get that question. What are you looking for? What are we seeing in Jesus? How is he a part of our life? And for John, he says, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one who is the liberator. He is the Son of God. He is the one who frees us, who unshackles us from our brokenness, our addictions, our sin, the things that impede our life, or maybe that which we do, which then impedes the lives of others. How our pain gets pushed and forced upon other people. What are you looking for? At times we are looking for that one who can forgive us, that one who can help us to begin again, that one who will take us and look at us and say, you are more than your worst day. I call you by your name, not by your struggle or your brokenness or your addiction. So maybe when Jesus says, what are you looking for? We're looking for the one, the God who loves us completely, the God of the universe, who will look us and just simply call us by name and say, you are a daughter of God. You are a son of God. Other times when Jesus turns and looks at us and says, what are you looking for? Maybe we're looking for direction. Maybe we're looking for that North Star to guide us in our lives. We've been living along our lives, and maybe we're getting to that point where we're finding out that maybe we're not where we thought we would be. Maybe we don't have the job we thought we would be. Maybe our life situation, our circumstances isn't what we thought it would be. Maybe our parents are moving into that sandwich generation, and so we are beginning to think about caring for our parents as we care for our children. Or maybe our children are struggling and we're trying to figure out how best to help our children. Maybe it just feels like in Psalm 40, which those of you who are old enough will remember the U2 sang a version of this song too. But there's a verse in this psalm that maybe speaks to how we feel sometimes. The psalmist says that God drew me out of the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, set my feet upon a rock. Maybe we feel like we have no firm footing, you know? Maybe we're just kind of hanging in there. And so when Jesus says, what are you looking for? We're looking for a foundation. We're looking for hope. We're looking for that encouragement. We're looking for the one who would guide us into a life that maybe has a little bit more peace, or a life that maybe has a little bit less anxiety. What are you looking for? And I love Jesus' response to that, to those disciples, because they tell him, we're looking, Rabbi. He says, Rabbi, where are you staying? So they don't even answer the question. When he says, what are you looking for? They say, where are you staying? And his answer to them is, come and see. Part of this, what are you looking for? Part of the moment of coming and seeing is this experience that we have with God. It's being welcomed into that presence of God where we feel like we're not apart from God, but that we have a community that cares for us. I love this phrase, come and see, because I think about when Ryan was younger. When he was a toddler, it was come and see, Daddy, what I built out of the mega blocks, or sometimes what I knocked over with the mega blocks is too. Or maybe when the children get older, it's come and see, Mommy, watch me ride my bike. Or come and see, Mommy, watch, see what I've drawn. Or listen to the new song I've sung. When we hear those words, come and see, it's an invitation into an experience with those around us that we care for. And Jesus offers this invitation, and John makes the point, and it seems a little odd when he says it. He says, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And at first glance, you say, well, that's great. It doesn't really matter. Could have been 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, could have been 9 o'clock in the morning. Why is that important? Why in the midst of this experience would he mention that it's 4 o'clock, right before rush hour? Maybe. He's letting us know that what Jesus is doing when he says, come and see, he's not inviting them into just a moment. He's actually inviting them into a meal. He's inviting them to his table. This is the rest of the day. This is that quiet, maybe not quiet, but that conversational kind of evening where we gather with friends and family and we just sort of spend time together. And sometimes you're talking and sometimes you're just being. It's those safe kind of moments. But it's also where some of the deepest conversations happen. When we're around those who are closest to us, that's where sometimes we can be the most vulnerable. We can ask the hardest questions. We can seek the advice that we're looking for. And here, in the beginning of John's gospel, John is telling us that this is the Son of God. He is this interested in our daily lives. He is this interested to meet us in the midst of wherever we may find ourselves. Maybe we're at the mountaintop, or maybe we're walking through the valley of the shadows. And he wants to be there, and he wants to listen as we speak. But then he's also hoping that we will listen as he speaks. And John tells us that these disciples, they're so touched by this moment that Andrew goes and tells his younger brother, Simon, who we know as Peter. He says, we found the Messiah. We have found the one who is the Son of God. We have found the one who is that great liberator. We have found the one who is the answer to that question that has been within us. What's next? Who's next? Who should we follow? Who's guiding us? Who has a way that we would want to live and be a part of? It's him. It's him. Come and see. Come and see this Jesus. And when Jesus meets Simon Peter, he gives him a name. He says, I'm going to call you Cephas, which means the rock. Not Dwayne Johnson, but the rock. I'm going to do something with you. Peter, notice what Jesus is saying about Peter. He's saying something that Peter may or may not know. He's saying, Peter, you're strong. You're strong enough. Maybe Peter knows that. Maybe he doesn't. But Jesus is giving a little bit of a glimpse of how God sees Peter. And I imagine in that moment, Peter was feeling pretty good. Because Jesus looked at him and said, there's something about you that matters. I need you. I want you as part of this gathering of this community. How often do we hunger for that? For those around us to say that you're welcomed, you're included. Here is Jesus saying that to Peter. And you know what? Jesus says that to each of us in the power of the sacrament of baptism. He said that to Virginia and he said that to Kellen. You're my sister in Christ. You're my brother in Christ. And we had a chance to come and see this as a congregation. But the cool thing is that it's not just this moment for the rest of Virginia and Colin's life, we have the privilege of being the kind of place where they can come and see Jesus. They can come and see Jesus in you, their family. They can come and see Jesus in this church community. They can come and see the ways that they can then be Jesus to the people around them, that their presence, their love, their words may be a sign that this Jesus is present in the world around us. Because you see, come and see doesn't just draw us to Jesus. Come and see becomes our mission statement. It becomes our call into the world around us. It becomes our opportunity into this new week to be a sign of Christ by our words and our actions, so that those around us, whether we know them or not, may experience maybe a drop of the grace of God this week through us. Or maybe the power of forgiveness and reconciliation. Or maybe we may be signs of peace in a rushed and anxious world. Because we live in this very same water in which Virginia and Colin were baptized. And we carry this same water of baptism into our lives and into the world. And so maybe someone this week is going to look at you. And through you, Jesus is going to say to them, what are you looking for? And they're going to say to you, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you care about the things that you care about? And they may even ask you this question, is there room at your church for me? And you'll say, yes, there is. Because Jesus is always opening his arms to anyone and to everyone. Because Jesus sees us and calls us by our name. And Jesus sees in us the power of God's good news at work in us. Jesus sees in us how God's kingdom may unfold around us, how we may be part of what makes this community healthier and stronger, this nation healthier and stronger, and this world healthier and stronger. That's what it means to take these words of Jesus seriously, to come and see Jesus for who he is, and then to carry his good news into the rest of our days and into the rest of our lives. May we be such people. May we be the kind of people that would sing this song that was sung in the Psalms, where he says, God put a new song in my heart, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and many will put their trust in the Lord because of you, because of the power of God at work in you, because of the power of God's grace at work in you, because of the power of God's love at work in you. Be this good news. Be the reason that the world sees Jesus this week. In your holy name we pray. Amen, God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, move among us. Inspire us in our lives that we would be signs of your peace, agents of your grace, channels of your mercy. Lord, may we as a congregation recommit ourselves in this time of baptism to be signs of your presence to Virginia and to Kellen and to all, Lord. May all see your love in us. May all experience your grace in us. Help us to be that sign, Lord, that you are present in this world and that your peace is available to all. In your name we pray. So may it be. Amen.